Well, let us ask God's blessing on our sermon this morning. Father, we do commit ourselves to you as we listen to your word, your holy word this morning. Do pray a blessing upon us and upon the Sunday school this morning too. We ask these verses. Pray for open hearts and open minds and listening abilities, we pray. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we ask this. Amen. Amen. I guess change is something that happens to us in all our lives at various points in our lives. It's only taken a fall of snow to change the makeup of the congregation of the service here this morning. Many, of course, can't make it because they come at a distance to us. But change happens whether we like it or not, and change brings with it its challenges as well. And when Jesus began his earthly ministry here, change happened very quickly as he began his time of ministry here. For Jesus brought a new and fresh and living dimension to the worship that was taking place in Israel, Judah particularly, at that time. And we read this morning about his mandate here for Messiahship. The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, a recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour. And Jesus, of course, was anointed by the Holy Spirit as at his baptism. And we see, therefore, that he has been given that mandate to go and preach and proclaim this good news. And he went about doing good, healing the sick and bringing sight to the blind and setting the oppressed free from demon possession and so forth. And to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour. In other words, he was to bring change, and change with a capital C as well, because we see the effects of the Word of God. And this shows us who Jesus really is. His words speak into situations, people's diverse situations, whatever those situations might be. And he meets them where they are. Just as this morning, he will meet with us, whether we're here in person or online this morning. And so we see through this passage from Luke chapter 5 in verses 1 to 11, this well-known passage here, that the aim here is the change that Jesus brings through his words, which reveal more of who he is and exposes ourselves to who we really are. So I've broken this down, this well-known account, down the beginning of Jesus's ministry here, the call of Peter, as it's known as. First point, really, is the attraction of listening to the word of God preached. Now you have that in these opening verses, in verses 1 to 3. Here one day, as Jesus was standing by the Lake of Gennesaret, or the Lake of Galilee, with the people crowding round him and listening to the word of God. What had they come to do? But they had come to listen to God's word as Jesus was expounded it to them. They were not getting that in the synagogues of their day, but they were getting it from the Lord Jesus Christ. It was a living and a powerful and a lively word that Jesus was preaching. And so they make the effort. They congregate there, crowding around him. So many are there that he's being pressed there as he speaks. And so he notices by the lakeside there two boats drawn up from the shore from the fishermen who've been out that night fishing. And he gets into one of the boats, Simon's boat on this occasion, and asks him to put out a little from the shore, which Simon gladly does. And then Jesus sat down in the boat. This is the common posture for a rabbi who was to teach in a synagogue or anywhere else, that he would sit down and then declare the word of the Lord to those gathered there. And so this is exactly what Jesus does. He puts out a little from the shore, Simon does, and then Jesus sat down and taught the people from the boat. So we have this scene here where our Saviour is sitting in the boat there. The crowds are lying in on the shore there, standing up, and they're listening to him. All attention is given to the Lord Jesus Christ as he preaches there. And I'm sure that he was a teacher that people would gladly hear. They could follow him, they could understand him, and so on. But of course, this has an application for us this morning. It's simply very much this: how spiritually hungry are we today for the Word of God? Many of you made the effort to come here this morning because of the weather. Others can't make it because of bad driving conditions and so on. But have we, wherever online this morning or whether we're here in person, have we a desire, have we a hunger and a thirst for the word of the living God? Are we spiritually hungry this morning? Are we conscious in ourselves, in our spirits, of a lack, of a need to hear the voice of the living God to us today? Now, God doesn't need a special building for us to worship in. This building is great, it's nice, it's comfortable, it's there in order to be convenient to us. But it's the Word of God that's the most important thing this morning. Do we want to hear God's Word? Is there an attraction in our spirits, in our souls, to hear and enjoy and profit from listening to the Word of God this morning? Have we got that hunger for Him today? Is there an attraction there towards us today? And then secondly, second point is this: obedience to the word is essential, verses 4 to 7. Because, and this is where the rub starts here for us today, because Jesus has been teaching and he's come to the end of his sermon for today, and he turns round to Peter. Now, Peter has been, no doubt, sitting in the boat listening to all this. No doubt he's enjoying it. No doubt he's thinking of his breakfast, getting back home as well. When suddenly Jesus turns to Peter and challenges him and tells him, and I like the Authorised Version rendering here better than the NIV, but it says in the Authorised, "Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught or a catch of fish." Here is a real challenge, therefore, to Peter and to Peter's faith, such as it is in the Lord Jesus Christ. There is one thing, isn't it, to listen to a sermon in the comfort of a place like this. It's another thing when that sermon speaks to us too. Here is a real challenge to Peter. What's he going to do about it? Suddenly he is put on the spot, as it were. The spotlight falls on Peter, never mind the rest of the congregation who may still be along that shore there. Jesus is addressing Peter directly. He's lifted him out of the congregation and he's speaking to him directly here today. And Peter demurs. "Well, look, Lord, we've been working all night. We've toiled all night fishing. After all, the time to catch fish is at night, and you catch fish in the shallow waters as well." Now Peter is with the Lord and he's got to make up his mind. What way is he going to go? How is he going to react to this? And so he responds to this: "Master, we've worked all night and haven't caught anything, but because you say so, I will let down the nets." And so the word of God reaches Peter, and we can see that his response is one of faith. Now, there may be many other things mixed up in his reaction there. After all, his faith would have been very much in his infancy at that moment in time and so forth. And what Jesus was asking him to do, went about all the things that Peter, as an experienced fisherman, knew about fish, where to find fish and what time of day or night to catch those fish and so forth. But here he's being asked to do something which seems really impossible for him. And not only that, but he's tired and he's weary. It's inconvenient for him, really, to go about doing that. But there is the command of the Master here. We've worked hard all night. And not only that, but Jesus has added these three words to him: put out into deep water, let down your nets for a catch. In other words, Jesus has implied that it might well be worth Peter's worthwhile for Peter to launch out into that deep and to get some fish too. And so Peter there, sitting in the boat, looking at Jesus, this carpenter turned rabbi here, looks at him, and there's something there that encourages Peter to obey the voice of the Lord. And the results, as we know, as we've read, are absolutely staggering. There is more fish than he can handle. He has to ask his partners for help. There's so many fish that the nets are beginning to break. In other words, Jesus has performed a wonderful miracle here for Peter and his companions and his family as well. So these amidst to various points of application for us this morning. And we see here, for the word of God to profit us, the word of God to mean anything to us, we must believe it. There is that sense in believing. Hebrews 4 verse 2 puts it like this, not addressing to the people there in the epistle to the Hebrews, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. In other words, not only must we hear the word of God, not only must we understand the word of God, not only must we have that word of God, but we must put it into practice. Obedience is called for us. If we will gain anything from the word of God, then we must seek to obey it. James points this out, doesn't he, in his letter there, faith comes by hearing and so forth. But he also says that we must obey the word of God. If we don't obey the word of God, if we don't put that word of God into practice, then of course all we've done is listen to a lecture this morning. And all we do with lectures is make notes and hope to pass our exams. So we see here the point of Peter here is that he's being challenged to obey the word of God. And then we notice something else here, that Peter has taken a small step of faith, obedience already. Jesus asked him to put out a little from the shore, a little way from the shore, so that Peter can use his boat as a pulpit there. And that little step that Peter took there on that occasion led to this much more bigger step that Jesus challenge him to take, and that was, of course, to go out into deep water amidst all the other fishermen that would be lying on the shore at that point, laughing at Peter going out there into the water, seeing him there in the middle of the day going out into the water. Well, what's Peter doing out there in the water? But here he's launched out into the deep, despite what other people might think or say. He's taken this much bigger step of faith. And isn't this true, that so often our faith is built up bit by bit? Little steps lead to bigger steps. And so Jesus encourages Peter at this point, first by borrowing his boat, then telling him to put out a little bit from the shore there, and then encouraging him to launch out into the deep. And so this is something that we must remember. Perhaps it's happened in our own lives, in our own experience. God invites us perhaps to do a small thing for him perhaps in the church, and so forth, some little thing. And yet that little thing, if done sincerely and properly and from the heart, will lead to bigger responsibilities, greater responsibilities, and so forth. And so it goes on. And then thirdly, we might see a third application from here this morning, and it's this, that Jesus does not overlook the smallest service we do for him. Often we might be doing work for the Lord in a church such as this morning, and we might think that our service has been totally overlooked, that the oversight might have not seen it or taken notice of it or cognizance of it in any way or form, and we might think to ourselves, well, what's the point? But Jesus does not overlook small acts of service. He did not overlook the fact that he was borrowing Peter's boat. He did not overlook the fact that he'd asked Peter to put out a little from the shore. He does not overlook these little acts of service. Nothing escapes his attention. Whatever we do for the Lord is noted by him, and he recognizes that. He doesn't ignore those acts of service that are done for him and for his name's sake. I find that a great comfort this morning, that we can do many things for the Lord and people don't see it or recognize it or thank us for it. But here we know from this story that Jesus doesn't overlook these things for us. Matthew 10, verse 42 reminds us that if anyone gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones who is my disciple, truly I tell you, that person will certainly not lose their reward. In other words, Jesus notices these things. And not only that, but he notices our needs as well. Jesus knew all about Peter's need. He knew perfectly well that Peter and his companions had not caught any fish the previous night, the very time that he would have expected to have landed a haul of fish. He knew perfectly well that their nets had been empty from a fruitless night's fishing. He knew very well that they were washing their nets on the side of the shore there, getting ready for another night venture in which they hoped they might catch something there. He knew about that. And so this morning, we can rest assured that our Saviour knows precisely where we're at, and he knows our particular needs as well this morning. And therefore, we can bring our needs to you in faith and in confidence this morning, knowing that he already knows about those needs. And so we see here the changes of the Lord here that he will bring to us in our next point this morning, but we see particularly this morning that obedience to the word of God is essential if we would be blessed. And then thirdly and finally this morning, this is going to be a short message, but the changes that the word of God will bring to us in verses 8 to 11. We notice from these verses here that when Simon Peter saw this, verse 8, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man." As we see this passage, we notice that Peter's attention is not as we might expect it to be on the great catch of fish, but on the person who occupies the boat with him, who's facing him at this time. And he suddenly becomes very conscious of something there. He's very conscious of a great gulf which exists between himself and Jesus, because he's beginning to wake up to the fact that Jesus is not just another rabbi. He's not just a carpenter turned rabbi. He's more than that. He's recognizing the fact, even very dimly, he's perceiving these great truths which we can read this morning, that the person sitting opposite him in that boat is omniscient. That means that God knows everything, and that Jesus knows these things. He knew where the fish were that night. He knew exactly where those fish were. He knew exactly where Peter was to let down his nets. He knew that the fish would go into Peter's net when he gave the word of command. And that means that Jesus is far greater than Peter ever took him to be. He recognizes, or at least he may be beginning to grasp something which we all have to grasp, really, not only that Jesus knows all things, not only that, but not only is he great and kind and good, but he's unbelievably holy. There was that difference, distance between Peter and the Lord Jesus Christ. That great gulf there that was fixed, as it were. He cannot see anything beyond the fact that Jesus was so amazingly holy and so knowledgeable, but also knew all things. And so we see in that moment of revelation, if you like, that Jesus, that Peter has encountered something of the greatness and the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ there in that boat. This great act, this stupendous act of grace, really. After all, Peter didn't deserve this catch of fish. It was an act of grace on the part of the Lord that he had this wonderful act of fish. And so he sees in this something of Jesus's omniscience. He sees something of his omnipotence and so forth. He sees something more than that. He sees something of God's holiness. And that holiness has an effect on Peter, as it must do on us today. Before the all-seeing gaze of the Lord Jesus Christ, suddenly Peter feels that he is undone. He sees himself for the first time as a sinful man. Perhaps he'd already always seen himself as a fairly decent guy. He went to the synagogues, he fished for a living and so on, married and so on. Saw himself probably as all right. But in that moment, in that boat, with Jesus on the other side of him and all the fish in the middle of the boat there, and his partners over there somewhere coming to help, he sees something else, something that he doesn't like, something that's horrible, something that's there. Lord, I am a sinful man. Suddenly, he's able to see himself and compare himself with the glory and pristine holiness of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man. For all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. So were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. And Jesus responds to this. He comforts Peter and his companions and commissions them. Don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people. So they pulled their boats up on the shore, left everything, and followed him. Well, there are various lessons that we could draw, points of application for us for this morning, which we might profit from today. And we must remember, of course, as we share this story this morning, that Peter and the other disciples had previously encountered the Lord Jesus Christ. They already beginning to follow him. But this was essentially a call to commitment to discipleship. And if we are to follow the Lord Jesus Christ and serve him as he would wish to be served and as he should be served, then a sense of our personal unworthiness is, I would suggest this morning, absolutely essential if we are to serve the Lord aright. It's so vital to serve him in the right attitude of mind. Gifts are important, yes, of course they are, but a sense of personal unworthiness, a sense that we've got no right to be heard by God at all, is paramount, I would suggest. Isaiah experienced this at the beginning of his ministry there to the people of his day there. How did he put it there? Where he saw the Lord lifted up, high and lifted up in the temple there, and saw the seraphim, the cherubim flying round him, crying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty." That vision, the impact of it, never left Isaiah, and he was shaken to the core of his being as he saw that wonderful vision there, because he too became conscious of his own failure and his sin, as he puts it. Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. This sort of suggests it's something, we may not get a vision like Isaiah or an encounter as such as Peter had in his boat, but there must also be that sense, if you like, of unworthiness in serving our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. The hymn writer and Anglican clergyman put it like this in his hymn, which we're not going to sing, but you'll find it in Christian Hymns 879. And none, O Lord, have perfect rest, and for none are wholly free from sin. And they who would fain serve thee best are conscious most of wrong within. So this is Henry XII, the Anglican clergyman, from the hymn At Evening Ere the Sun Was Set. So we see then that that sense of unworthiness came to Peter. And this is what Jesus was after. This is how Jesus was able to call him. There must be that sense there of unworthiness. There must be also that submission, as Peter demonstrated, submission to the word of God there. And so we see that Peter, from that moment onwards, was a changed man. It didn't mean that he was totally changed by any means, because we know that Peter made many mistakes. He failed many times afterwards. But it was a great turning point in his life, in his experience for that occasion. And so we see that there too, in conclusion, must be that change in us. And it may be that this morning we are not yet believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, therefore, we need to have that encounter with God to show us exactly our own state before Him, because we will never see our need of a Saviour until we have seen what we're really like before a holy God. So we see, therefore, that there is a need to be right with God. There is forever a great gulf between a person who is saved and a person who is not saved. A great gulf between the Lord and an unsaved person. It was true in my own experience, and it will be true as yours before you were converted. But it's also true for us today. There will always be that great gulf between us and a holy God until we see the fact that we are sinners in the sight of a holy God, until we see that the Lord Jesus Christ has come, and that was his purpose for coming into this world, was to bridge that gap, to become as one of us in order that he might reach us and save us for himself. Yes, a presence of Jesus brings changes, and they come through listening to the word of God. It is the word of God that is effective in our hearts and lives as we exercise faith and obedience in his holy word. And then we too shall be changed by the word of God, even as Peter was changed. Even that was the turning point in his life and experience this morning. So the question I ask myself, and the question I'm going to leave with you this morning, is simply this. As we begin a new year here in North Wales this morning, are we ready to be changed? I'll leave it with you. Let's pray.